Now we read together from the Word of God. I'll be reading this morning from John chapter 6, John 6, verses 63 through 71. Here Jesus is speaking. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" But Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?" He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. The reading of God's Word. This morning I am very blessed to invite to the pulpit and introduce to you all a brother in the Lord who has labored far longer than I have labored, Pastor Conley White. He is a faithful servant of the Lord, and he has been for many decades. I would love for each of you to get to hear the story of how God drew him, drew his wife, to himself many years ago. They are just rich in experience and in testimony of walking with the Lord and knowing the Lord and having the Lord work through them, answer their prayers. And presently he is pastor at a church nearby, at Faith Community Church. And he's also on staff with the Navigators. So I came to know Pastor Conley relatively recently. The Lord sent him into my life. They say that a pastor's life, one of the strange things about it, is that it can tend to be strange. You're surrounded by people. You love being immersed with people and being involved in their lives. But it can also be very isolating in a strange sort of way. I've in no way felt isolated or alone in the work of the ministry. One of the reasons, one of several reasons, but one of them has been God sending Pastor Conley to bless me. I enjoy encouragement and fellowship with him. I enjoy having him pray for me and pray with me. Before he comes to bring the word, Pastor Conley has brought us a song. And so we're going to listen to it played, and we have the words for it, I believe. Is that right? We have the words that will be up front as well? Okay. So after this song that Pastor Conley has brought us, he's going to come and bring us the word. Put on the line.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I can tell everyone I know.
You thought I was worth saving,
so you came.
Tell everyone I know.
You thought
I was worth saving.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping. So you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was the devil. Thought I was the devil.
Amen and amen again. I tell you, when I hear that song, it causes me to rejoice in the Lord Jesus. Aren't you glad that God thought we were worth saving? I'm so glad that God loves us and His love isn't dependent on how bad we are. His love is dependent on how great He is. And so we give Him the praise. Let me ask you just to stand. You've been sitting for a while. I know that this might not be the norm, but just stand a minute. Just stretch, and we're going to jump right into the Word, and we thank you for being here. You may be seated. It's still morning. Good morning, Emmanuel Presbyterian, and the esteemed leadership of this great church. Barbara and I, my rib, for 51 years, we have 6 children, and we have a plethora of grandchildren. If any of you want some grandchildren, we'll be glad to loan them to you. So we're deeply honored to fellowship with you again and share in His Word. And each time we've been in this fellowship, we've been greeted with a spirit of warmth and love and hospitality. We thank God for you. We've grown to love and respect your wonderful pastor and my brother and friend, Pastor Michael Tan and his beautiful rib, Elizabeth, and their 9 children. 11 children. This is an Abraham, y'all. I'm telling you, Abraham and Sarah, they just keep having children, and I tell you, and getting younger and younger. It is a real privilege and honor knowing him. You have a wonderful shepherd. We've got to know their family, kind of ministering and sharing with Pastor Mike Tan, and it's been reciprocal. We've enjoyed our time together. Pastor Mike and I have been meeting for some months now, and through our time together, we've come to appreciate his heart, his love for his wife, his love for his children, his love for his God, his love for his word, and his love for you, this congregation, whom he speaks of often. You're on his heart always. You're blessed indeed to have a shepherd like him. Many folks don't have a shepherd like Pastor Mike Tan. So it's another Super Sunday, as we say at Faith Community, and we bring you greetings, where Reverend Dr. Olamore is the lead pastor, and we serve there as assistant pastor, and they allow me to get away on the 4 Sundays and connect with other pastors, other churches, and share in the Word. So it's a real joy to be with you this morning. We often say at Faith Community our diet is simple, but it's nutritious. So we worship in part place and literally impact the world. And we appreciated our missionary, Mark Gordon, who shared this morning what he's doing in that country that he can't tell us about, but God is working mightily in that country, we're sure. And so we continue to lift you up in prayer, my brother. It's our hope that We all will be properly sedated today. A congregation should never be released, Pastor Mike, until they have been deeply and properly sedated. Now, it's our prayer that our message will keep the sedation rather light, laced with love and the power of His Spirit. But we trust the substance and application will result in our permanent transformation as we've gathered together this morning. To His glory. You know, it was the late Warren Wiersbe who observed, when the child of God looks into the Word of God, they see the Son of God, then the Spirit of God touches their life and they're transformed that they can reflect and demonstrate to a dying world the glory of God. We're going to use the four B's this morning. We're really delighted and honored to be here. We will be brief. We will be to the point, and then we will be gone. Now, the recipe for a good sermon includes some shortening. Hopefully, we didn't forget to buy the shortening. You know, inflation is up, y'all. We read that there were some 861,000 self-help books available on Amazon. If this is true, just the sheer popularity of self-help books points to the reality that humans live with an insatiable longing for something more, for something better. This is why we keep making resolutions every year, and we feel helplessly disappointed when we fail to follow through. And that's something fails to satisfy our inmost longings. Our thought today, which I saw when I was working out at the senior center on Newport Avenue, and I go over there and work out for about 5 or 10 minutes or so, and I saw this writing on the wall. It was on the supervisor's door, and I'm sure that when I saw that statement, that thought, I can understand why. When you feel like quitting, remember why you started. When you feel like quitting, remember why you started. And I know that supervisor probably had that feeling of quitting a whole lot of days. And so I want to use that thought. I want to borrow that thought this morning. When you feel like quitting, remember why you started. Let's pray. God, thank you for everything that's happened in this service, how you brought it together with the songs and the prayers, and now we enter into a time, Lord, that you're speaking to us. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive the word, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Transform us, God. Draw us to yourself. Might we leave here changed and endeared to your heart. As the deer pants after the water brook, so our hearts pant after you. Make it so daily in our lives. We ask it, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. If any don't know you, we ask you to draw them to yourself in salvation. We ask it, Father, in the name of Jesus. With thanksgiving, all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll be looking in John, the 6th chapter. Now, there was a little error I'll correct, and that's on me. I take full responsibility, Pastor Mike, because I sent a text. I had an audible at the line. I said from 63 to 71, but we're going to go from 53 to 71. Now, we won't get all that in, and there will be another time maybe, but we'll talk about that later. So we're going to be looking in John, the 6th chapter. And for a little context, very quickly, this section of Scripture takes place about a year before the Lord Jesus goes to Calvary in the region of Galilee, north of Judea. This was about a distance, about 80 miles, about a 4 days journey from Jerusalem. So the Passover was near. John, the 6th chapter, verse 4 tells us that. Now, the significance of this is the Passover is associated with the Exodus and God's provision and sustenance of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. Now, Jesus would soon sustain this multitude in their small wilderness with bread from heaven, literally and spiritually. The miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 is recorded in all four Gospels. However, only in John's Gospel is where we see the seven great I am statements. Each of these I am proclamations furthers our understanding of Jesus' ministry in the world. They also link Jesus to the Old Testament, revelation of God. God revealed his name to Moses. I am who I am. The only God, the self-existent one, needing nothing and needing no one. I am God all by myself. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you in Exodus 3:14. In Judaism, I am is unquestionably understood as a name only for God. Whenever Jesus made an I am statement in which he claimed attributes of deity, he was identifying himself as God. For our purposes here, we'll consider our Lord Jesus' proclamation, I am the bread of life. Now we see this in John the 6th chapter, in verse 35, he says, I am the bread of life. In verse 41, in John the 6th chapter, I am the bread of life. Verse 48, verse 51, all in John the 6th chapter, you see where he proclaims himself to be, I am the bread of life. So in this chapter, Jesus establishes a pattern that he continues throughout John's gospel. Jesus makes a statement about who he is, and he backs it up with something he does. Now, he had just fed the 5,000 in the wilderness, along with miraculously walking on water to rescue the disciples. And at the same time, he contrasts what he can do with what Moses had done for their ancestors. He says in John the 6th chapter, verse 49 and 50, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and never die. In our time together, we want to do an exposition of a portion of scripture from the book of John. And we're going to start at verse 53. If you have your Bibles or your electronic gear, join me as we look at this portion of scripture for our encouragement and for our devotion to the Lord Jesus. In verse 53, Jesus said to them, most certainly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Now, putting yourself in the shoes of the multitudes and the disciples, what do you think your response would have been upon hearing that message from Jesus? Thank you for asking such a great question. Well, we see in verse 60 to 66 what the response was of those disciples. Disciples, you know, in Jesus' time, you had a teacher, and if you followed him, you were learning from him, you were a pupil. You would be a disciple of Jesus. Didn't mean you necessarily believed in him. It's just that he was the rabbi. He was the teacher. You were the pupil. You were learning and following him. So you had a mixture here. Some believed in Jesus, and some were just following him, as we're going to see, for what they could get from him. Do you know folks like that? They just follow and hang around because they don't really believe in Jesus. But he is attractive as a person. And it's very convenient to just hang around Jesus. And so, what would have been your response? We see in verse 60 to 66 what the response were of some. We see in the word of God, it says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult saying. This is a hard saying. I don't understand this. Then in verse 66, we see from that time, many of his disciples went back and they walked with him no more. We see what the reaction was of those pupils, those learners, not the 12, but those students who followed Jesus as a rabbi, as a teacher. In this case, the Lord Jesus, they found him just to be a wonderful person. Some of them just nice to be around. And they found this message too hard to swallow. Said, we don't understand this. This is just too hard to swallow. I don't get it. What would be the benefits of living out the Lord Jesus' teaching and trusting him to be our bread of life? What would be the benefits to this if we continue, as we continue, our Christian journey today? Boy, y'all are asking some great questions. Listen to what God tells us of the amazing benefits that's ours when we follow Jesus. And we're going to see this in Psalm 112. Listen to what God says. Listen to these benefits that's ours. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man or woman. I added that in there. We don't want to leave anybody out. But blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there rises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man or woman deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance to all generations. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His strength will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Now, aren't those some amazing benefits? Listen to what God says to us in essence. He's saying to you and I today, I am your sustenance. I am your nourishment. I am your provision. I am your purpose. I am your power. You can't survive without me. You can only experience total satisfaction in me to feel that aching longing in all of our souls. Apart from me, you're going to remain hungry spiritually. And you and I will not have the strength spiritually to continue our Christian journey in this wilderness of the world. Jesus performed the miracle of physical bread to feed the 5,000. It's an object lesson. He satisfied their physical hunger to point them to a higher spiritual sustenance. Himself, I am the bread of life. God in Christ thought we were worth saving. So he came and he changed our lives. He thought you and I was worth keeping. So he is cleaning us up inside. It's called sanctification. The Lord Jesus, by his own Holy Spirit, lives in all who have received him. We're saved. We're saved. We're saved. We're saved from the penalty and guilt of sin. He is saving you and I from the power of sin. And one day he's going to save us from the very presence of sin. Hallelujah. We're all going to be raised up. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then those who are left behind and remain, we're going to be caught up together with him in the air to meet him in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. He is saving you and I. Saints, when you and I think about quitting, remember why we started. Occasionally, Barbara and I like to go to famous days. We look forward to that. Famous days to eat their delectable barbecue spare ribs. I mean, they're so good, it'll make you want to slap your mama. Now, in Southern Black culture, this reference is used in referencing a deliciously outstanding food or meal. To be sure, you better not walk up to your own mama or anybody else's mom and slap them. Don't try it, y'all. If you fail to understand that this is just a figure of speech, just a metaphor, you're going to be in for a beatdown, I'm going to tell you. That mama will remind you, I brought you into this world, and you know what? I can take you out. Saints, it's not new, but we're living in a world where people want the Lord to meet their needs physically, not their spiritual needs. The manna, the bread in Exodus 16, if you refer back to there when you have time and refer to in John the 6th chapter, and we look at verses 32 and 35 in this text, we see what Jesus says. And Jesus said to them, most certainly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So you see, this bread came only to the Jews and sustained physical life. But the Lord Jesus came for the whole world and gives eternal life. So it's a quality of life that's out of this world. Just as we ate and consumed those delicious spare ribs and took food into our bodies, so the Lord Jesus says in verse 53, most certainly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. When we eat, we swallow, we absorb, we commit and consume our food into our physical bodies, and it becomes a part of us. In the same way that physical food is necessary for our survival, so the Lord Jesus is absolutely necessary for our spiritual survival. Those barbecue spare ribs, they were good, but they only sustained our physical hunger temporarily. The physical food, like any food, it loses its sustaining power. We were hungry later on that evening after all that good eating. Listen again to what the Lord Jesus tells us today in John, the 6th chapter, 53 to 59. I'm going to read it again because we need to hear again what the Lord says. Then Jesus said to them, the crowd, most certainly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever and ever. Amen. What does this mean for you and I today? You continue to ask some great questions. Thanks for asking. What this means for you and I is this. When we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood, we are in essence saying to God by faith in our Lord Jesus. And I want to just say faith. A lot of people have faith. A lot of people have faith in something, in someone. It's the object of our faith. That is what makes the difference. It's the object of our faith. So our faith in the Lord Jesus, what is he saying? What is it saying to us? I trust in you, Lord, your death, burial, and resurrection. You live in me, and I am united to you, with you. You are my life. Galatians 2:20, we know the scriptures. God says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And this life which I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. For it's in you we live and move and have our very being and existence. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope. It's in you that I trust. My faith is in you every day, all the day long. By your grace, I delight to do your will. That's what it means to eat and drink of the blood of Jesus, by faith in him. See, faith throws us on to Christ, while this eating and drinking throws Christ into us as he lives his life in and through us. Why? So we can be sustained as we go through this wilderness journey in this world. Why? So we can build one another up, edify one another. Why? So we can share this gospel with a lost, dying, longing, disappointed, empty world like we were. They need Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Hanging around bread or food without eating won't give you energy. Just hanging around Jesus without commitment to him, without eating like the crowds were, for physical food only, won't give you and I spiritual health, stamina, and energy for the wilderness journey called life. But when we eat the bread of life, the Lord Jesus, by faith, you know what? He totally satisfies our longing in empty souls. He sustained us. Saints, when we feel like quitting, remember why we started. Let me just quickly state at this point, Catholicism still teaches in the Church at Rome that the conversion of the elements that you're going to partake of, the Eucharist, are literally the body and blood of Christ at the Lord's Supper. This is called transubstantiation, but that's not what really happens. We know that the Lord's Supper is ordinance. It's an ordinance. It's a sacrament instituted by Jesus at the time of his final meal with his disciples. The bread is symbolic of his broken body and the cup of his shed blood for the world, his redemptive work of love. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, you and I proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter tells us about all that. So in John 6, moving down to John the 6th chapter, 61 to 66, as we read there, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained, which was read to us this morning, this he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. So from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. So here we see the Lord Jesus responding to the reaction of indifference to his message. He tells them that they aren't going to eat him literally. So this isn't cannibalism. He says, in essence, if you find this difficult to believe, are you going to respond when you see me going back to heaven? I wonder today, how do you and I respond to the Lord Jesus when we don't understand? When we don't understand nothing, how do we respond? What situation are you facing or will you face or have faced where God is challenging you and I to trust him by faith? Even though we don't understand, even though we don't have all the answers, even though we don't have all the facts, How do you and I respond to the Lord Jesus when we don't understand? Rounding out this section in John, the 6th chapter, verses 66 to 71, which was read in your hearing this morning, we have observed earlier that many disciples found this passage hard to swallow. Let me just say that even today, many believers find this message hard to swallow, and its instruction and encouragement is gravely misunderstood by many, many Christians. Those who don't know Jesus, we would expect them to not understand. Scripture tells us, for the natural man receiveth not the things of God for their foolishness unto him, neither can they know them because they're spiritually illiterate. But we have the Spirit of God in us to illuminate and give us understanding. And in verse 67, Jesus asked the 12, I like this, when Jesus said to the 12, now he's speaking to his 12 disciples, do you also want to go away? The crowds, the pupils, the learners, the followers, those that are just hanging around for food, okay, they're leaving. But my 12 disciples, what about you? Are you also going to follow the crowd? Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? And then Peter gives this question and statement, really. Simon Peter answered. He was always that one that was ready to jump out of the boat, that impetuous person. I love Peter because we all got a lot of Peter in us. And so Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. What this means to you and I today is this. If we say that the Lord Jesus is not a savior to us, that he doesn't meet our needs at all as the bread of life, then I asked us, where are we going? To who or what are we looking to and trusting in? No postage stamps. They've been going up through the years. They're getting more expensive. But at least they have one attribute that most of us could emulate. They stick to one thing until they get there. In most cases. They stick to one thing until they get there. Because even if they fall off and you get to the post office, somebody's going to put some stuff on them, some postage stamps, to make sure they get to their destination. When people eat too much food, more than they need or are hungry for, they overeat. People tell us that if you overeat regularly for a long time, you gain extra weight. True that. I know it. Talking about myself now. But the Lord Jesus invites us today, every day, to overeat. Isn't that something? In assimilating, feasting on him as the bread of life. In essence, the Lord Jesus says, you are invited and encouraged to gorge yourself on my person. Get fat. Overeat. Spiritually, it's okay. If we're afforded another opportunity, we're going to examine Simon Peter's marvelous statements mingled with a powerful question. Or your gifted pastor, Mike Tan, my brother and friend, he can expound on that text much better than I could. Or I can. Now, let me close with conclusion. We can conclude our message here with a mystical story is told of Tantalus. Now, Tantalus was a king, and he had been found guilty of giving secrets to Greek gods who were just guilty of giving secrets to the Greek gods to mortal men. Of giving secrets of the Greek gods to mortal men. Now his punishment was this. He was placed in the river called Hades. And what happened was the water came up to his chin. Hanging and dangling over his head were branches filled with delicious fruit. Tasty fruit. So his punishment was this. Every time that Tantalus got thirsty and lowered his chin to drink water, it just receded. And every time he reached out to grab the fruit, the branch would just rise up. So he couldn't get the fruit. So the water for his thirst was right there at his chin level, and the food for his stomach was right above his head. But the harder he tried, the less he got. This was his punishment. Being in the vicinity of blessing and have it evading. The point, saints, is simply this. If you and I reach out for fulfillment in the things of this life, you and I will discover that it's always just outside our grasp. For nothing in life was designed to give us fulfillment except God. Everything else is but an imitation, a cheap imitation. The things in life that many of us cling to for meaning, for zip, for purpose, must continuously be hoarded. Because why? They quickly elude us. The only lasting satisfaction in this life can be found only in our relationship with God and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life, Jesus said. For those who know Jesus, let me just say, we need to feast on the person of the Lord Jesus. Every time we eat, be reminded, my Jesus is the bread of life. I need you to survive. I need you as I go through this wilderness journey called life. Without me, Jesus says, you can do and be nothing. Lord, help us to receive the bread of life every day, which is you. Let me just appeal to anyone who may be here today who never have invited the Lord Jesus into your life. I hadn't, we hadn't, till October 1971 aboard the USS Independence, CVA 64. It's razor blades now. The good news of Jesus dying for us, being raised, and is alive forevermore. And he thought we were worth saving. And his love gripped my heart. We invited him into our lives and he forgave me and continues to clean me up inside. He gave me the assurance that all that the Father gives me shall come to me. And he that comes to me, I shall in no wise cast out. That was my assurance verse. Now, I didn't even know anything about the Bible. But I was on that ship. I was on my way to do some crazy things. I was married now in Italy, ready to make some poor choices. But someone had been talking to me about the bread of life, Jesus. And I had been running. When we hit the port, I said, see ya, talk to the hand. I'm going on liberty. This person continued to share with me the bread of life. So I'm sitting in a bar in Naples, Italy, ready to make some poor choices. I'm married now. And God, by his grace and mercy, just through the word that had been shared with me, just spoke to my heart. He would not leave me alone. So I went back to the ship looking for this individual who had been talking to me about Jesus. I wanted to talk to him about Jesus. And I walked into a preaching service accidentally. I said, oh my gosh, I do not want to be here. And I was too embarrassed to walk out. So I sit down aboard the USS Independence in the chapel. Didn't want to be there. And this young man, Don LaRoe from V85, I'll never forget it. He was preaching about the bread of life. Preaching that message, and it just penetrated my heart. That was nothing but God. And so the invitation was given. He said, somebody's sitting here, your life is empty. Somebody's sitting here, and you've been trying everything. You need Jesus to change your life. Would you come? Would you come to him? And I tried not to. I put my hands, I was trying not to respond. I found, he said, just lift your hand. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. Just where you're at, just lift your hand. Not to me, but as an indication to God that you really want him to change your life. I tried not to, but I found my hand going up, and someone came over, Steve, put his arms around me. Talk about why. Out in the passageway, the hallway, on the ship, not nautical terms. And so we were in the space. That's the room. So we went out in the hallway and opened the Bible, shared with me how I could know him. That was in October 1971. You know what? This is May 22nd. God is getting gooder. He gets better and better. The bread of life. Maybe you're sitting here today. Is that you? Is that you? Been hanging around. I was hanging around. A personal decision. We've all been there. Well, if that's you, I'm just going to ask you. You don't have to get up out of your seat. But you just slip your hand up. Say yes. My life. Your hand up to him. Don't slip your hand up to him now. It was somebody, Pastor Mike Tan, in the church, somebody that's a friend, say, you know, I'm embarrassed to lift my hand in the congregation. That's me. Jesus will respond. God bless you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that you are the bread of life, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above everything we ask or think. Lord, bless this congregation. Bless your word to our lives. Might we feast on you every day, for you are indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, the bread of life. Sustain us as we continue our journey. We get weary and we do want to quit. We do want to walk away. And Lord, we get disappointed. Our hearts are broken because of any number of things. The challenges are great. And we get worried, anxious in our heart. And we wonder, is it worth it? But you encourage our hearts that, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am the bread of life. I will sustain you. I will carry you. I will enable you. I will meet your need. Cause it to be so in our hearts. Might we be encouraged and strengthened, and Lord, might we be passionate and excited, and might we share this sizzling hot message of hope with a dying world. Thank you for our brother Mark, what he's doing around the world in this church, taking the gospel here, there, and everywhere for your glory. Bless this congregation and the pastor. Thank you, God, for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen.